Somebody gave me some good advice. Don't love your partner how you want to be loved. Learn your partner's love language and love them like that. I might be trying to love my girl a certain way and she doesn't respond a certain way to me. I'm just like, well, I mean, that's how I would want to be treated. She's like, I might not care for that. I want to be hugged instead of gifts. I want to be held. And ladies, man, if you do love to suck, all right? Just get his, that's his love language. If that's what your guy is into like that. He really loves that. That's something you're going to have to suck up. No pun intended.
Like, you got
to
suck it up.
All right, welcome to the Sunday Scoop presented by the good folks at Chocolate Sunday's Comedy Show. I'm your host, Richie Rich. I'm joined by Lonnie, the janitor of Chocolate Sunday's, Brandon Cormell, and Keenan Baker. Welcome, Keenan.
What's up, y'all? So you really the janitor? What you calling yourself?
That's
what I don't believe in titles.
Where's the keys?
Where's the 1,000 keys?
I'm cleaning shit up. That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
But how do you explain what I do?
You do everything.
Everything. Lonnie. Yeah, it's not producer, really, because there's so much more than just producing the show.
I'm calling you the Russian lieutenant. All business.
Captain or something. Like,
yeah. Janitor. The head janitor.
It's a humble brag.
I see.
Yeah, it's like, because if you go by captain, it's like,
She's
full.
She makes me uncomfortable.
Janitor is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I kind of put myself humble. A little self-deprecating, but it's like, I know that I'm not really that, so I got it.
Exactly. All right, well, Keenan, we have a little bio for you. So I'm going to read it.
You're going to read it word for word?
Yeah. Most people don't. You know, they get a little uncomfortable with the bio. Do you get uncomfortable with the bios?
I get uncomfortable with compliments, to be honest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's. I don't know. I'm still learning how to take. It's kind of weird.
Me too.
I think you're an amazing comic.
I really like your jacket, sir.
Like, that hat is something special.
Fire. Let me see your eyes real quick.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
He must see really good.
They're hazel eyes. Bro,
you got 4K vision.
That one I will take.
Oh, my God. All right. Keenan Baker, who we're excited to have back with us again. Last time, he shared a hilarious story where we learned he had someone fake an illness just to break up with him. That was the last time you were on the podcast. Remember that?
Yeah. That's about that. I talked about niggas not having daddies, so they say certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Maybe lying on their dick.
Yeah.
Oh, and then, yes.
That clip did well, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank
man,
you, sir. Keenan is known for giving us all of his raw and uncut stories either through social media or on stage that paints a funny but relatable picture of his life. In 2017, he released his first comedy special, I Might Need Therapy, which is on all streaming platforms. And in 2020, he was featured on one of the comedians on the Tony Baker and Friends comedy special, which can be found on Amazon Prime. And now he's the host of the animation podcast and the Bonfire Stories comedy show. Welcome to the Sunday Scoop, Keenan Baker.
Oh, man, what's up, y'all? Hey. What is up, man? Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I always get excited when Lonnie texts me. She'll be like, hey, man, what you doing? I'm like, oh, man, yeah, what's up, Lonnie?
Opportunity.
Like, yeah.
No, this is great.
She always show love, man. I appreciate it.
Were you disappointed that I asked about the podcast instead of the show?
No. I meant to ask you to do the show on my birthday. My birthday was like 2 weeks ago. And but I was nervous to ask you because last time I asked you, you were like, nah, you good. And I was just like, shit,
Mean as janitor.
The janitor, right?
Yeah.
No, because last year, I asked you, can I do my, can I stop doing my birthday, kind of get some birthday love on Chocolate Sundays? You was like, nah.
Well, Jesus Christ.
No, you're like, nah. I was like, oh, all right, Lonnie, whenever you got a spot for me, I'll just let me know.
That just feels racist for some reason. I don't know why.
Say no for birthday.
That just feels somewhat racist.
That's why I was nervous to ask you. I was just like, I wrote the text. It was in the bar. It was like in the little message part.
Yeah.
And I was like, I mean, rejection, but like, when you cool with when you get rejected by somebody you cool with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That hurts a little bit more than like somebody just straight to be like, we can't do this for you. We can't. I'd be like, all right, I don't give a fuck.
It's like, but I know you.
Yeah,
I am a monster. Okay, I'm going to have to look back through the text because why? I didn't just say no.
Look right now. Let's put on the spot.
The only thing I can think
people are kind of afraid of you. You know that.
Yeah.
Yes, I know. And I don't know why.
I know exactly why. What the fuck? You tell people no on their birthday.
Lonnie has always treated me with love and respect. That's the thing. Lonnie has never been mean to me. I didn't take it as even a mean thing. It was more just like, I was assuming that like, I know at the time I wasn't coming to Chocolate Sundays consistently.
Regularly, okay.
Yeah, and I feel like it was more like that. Like, well, like, yo, it's not right that you just want to just pop up when you want to pop up. And that's how I kind of was more like that. Yeah. That's how I took it. Even if it wasn't that, that's kind of how I took it. It's like, all right, that makes sense. I wasn't like mad. I was just like, oh, okay. That's why I try to start coming a little bit more when I can. You know what I'm saying? But
And we probably, it was probably because it was like last minute.
It was.
And
it
we
was
probably
last
had
minute.
Like six comics on the But I think that's the, only like, time
the
I would
main
say
thing
no.
like the response you gave, that's what we're talking about.
That's yeah, like, I
mean, it's okay to say no, but you guys not good.
No, I wouldn't just say nope.
I'm looking through our text right now, and she's just sending me pictures of black socks because she hates dudes with black socks. So
I'm wearing them right now.
No, I a random person because
why would you do that to a random pedestrian?
Because I think I maybe you were on a Facebook post or someone said something about like pet peeves, and I said I hate black socks.
Right. Yes.
And he was asking about it. And he's like, "What do you mean?" And like the black dress socks with you know dress shoes, that's fine. I'm talking about like black socks with white sneakers that people wear.
No,
like
you got to match the soles of the shoe.
Oh my that's god, I hate black socks.
Imagine
so.
editing the whole clip and then cut off at black and then put people after that and just cut. I hate black people.
Oh man,
wow.
So imagine a
black people
wearing white shoes.
Yeah, get out of here.
Oh yeah, we're gonna do that.
Yeah. So. I think I told you, I asked you in person. I asked you.
It was to your face.
There's no reason for me to make that up. But like I said, I'm not throwing you under the bus like you were being mean. I'm literally remembering. I'm just like, yo, I wasn't coming consistently. And like only time I was like, we were even having really a conversation was
when you were getting on.
Right. And I also felt bad about that. I was just like, yo, Lonnie's cool. Every time I show up, she shows me love. So like when I started coming out, we started talking more. We'll text about the 49ers and shit like that. So we started talking a little bit more, but you know, I was still like, been like, oh man, I want to ask. And she goes, nah, man. Like, it wasn't even to do the show. It was really to come through and,
you wanted the cupcakes.
The birthday song.
You wanted the beer.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, I did.
You was
I did.
Hungry.
I did.
You want to have that recognition.
Hold on. Keep going. Y'all can keep
so
going.
So we were going to do it this year, and then he canceled.
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Oh, he just.
Whoa.
He was like, you know what? I ain't got time.
Yeah. That is.
But secretly, he was hoping that you would remember last
right?
year.
Right? Yeah. It was payback.
Yeah.
It was revenge.
Yeah. I think everybody's waiting
on
this.
No, there's no way I said no like that. If it was probably because we're completely booked or something. That would be the only thing. That
and it
might have
been the assumption that I was asking to get booked. It sounded like I was asking to get booked. Yeah. Like, can I come do my birthday? And it's kind of like, nah, like. It wasn't like she didn't. I didn't specify that I wanted to come through for like the celebration of the cupcakes and the
yeah.
Because
we would have
like
done that. For
well,
sure.
Well, we get her saying no. It's just the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we can still do it. It's still November. It's still Scorpio.
We're good. We're good.
She's like,
no. Maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe.
When's your birthday?
The 7th.
Of November?
Yeah, this
month. Oh, I thought it was in October. Oh, no. Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah.
This weekend, Thanksgiving weekend. You want to do it?
I'm down to come through.
Okay.
Look at that.
Let's do it. Look at that.
You got what you wanted, brother. Look at you.
Yeah. I was playing the whole time.
All right, John.
I'm about to come out with this one.
I'm out of here.
He asked me in a public forum, so I can't say no.
She's like, you fucking embarrass me. Never again. She's going to text me like, I'll never book you.
What about the lights you at 4?
No, I'm joking, but I got to say like,
you like me at 4?
No, but I love Lonnie, the man. Lonnie is literally one of the bookers, one of the few bookers that show me love consistently. I really appreciate all you do for us young comics out here. So I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah. You said 49ers. Are you from the Bay?
No, I'm from here. But I just grew up like, you know, Ricky Waters, Jerry Rice. Like, I grew up that old school 49ers Steve Young play. You know what I'm saying? I just loved them growing up as a kid. And then I just happened to catch them right before they won, and then they won. So
it has nothing to do with it being
Yeah, you know, I
team.
Normally don't
at
like
all. No, no. I was not a fan. But I got Niner shirts when I was a kid. Like, I got pictures of it. Like, absolutely not, man.
Yes,
I'm not one of those guys that's just like, yeah, so I can get up. Book a little more.
I love the Niners. What about the 70s, though?
No, and I normally don't like it when people that live in cities don't rep that team. But L.A. didn't have a football team for so long that a lot of people adopted the Niners.
Rams
weren't
here.
Yeah.
The
Rams
were like
90s.
Like, and then the Raiders, I wasn't a fan of this style. But it's like, I mean, my teams are all over the place. I'm a Charlotte Hornets fan, too. Like, my teams are, they're nowhere. They're all over the place.
The Charlotte Hornets.
Most of my family's from, like, New York. And I'm a military brat, so I'm from here, but the majority of my family's not from here.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Like, my teams a lot of times are where my family's from because that's what they grew up watching. So that's what I just.
Yeah, who's your baseball team?
It'd be the Mets.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're
Mets.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned your dad was in the military, right? Mm-hmm. Marine, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What was that conversation like when you told your Marine father that you wanted to pursue a professional career in comedy?
He was like, I don't give a fuck what you're doing out here. You just make sure your ass is in school. That's what you need to do. So my dad was really big on, like, school is everything. My dad was really big on education because he didn't necessarily, he got his high school diploma, and that was really it. Just went straight to the military. So he pushed me and my brother to go to college. And, you know, we got four college degrees, you know, between us. He has all four of them, but you know, I have no degrees. I was in school from like 2003 until I was in school from 2003 to 2011. So like I was in school college for a long time.
Oh man,
you was pacing yourself.
I was a super duper senior.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Sure, yes,
it's a marathon.
Yes.
What school?
I went to
schools. Yeah.
I went to Valley College first. I went to LA Valley College.
Oh, community college lifestyle. All right.
Yeah, I went there first. And I transferred to Alabama State, HBCU. Went there for a few years. Then I came back to Cal State Dominguez Hills.
Got humbled.
In Carson. Yeah. Got humbled. And then I took some more credits at Pierce College too. It's a junior college.
But you just never finished. You did all that, and you was like, what, seven credits short?
Or? I walked.
Why?
So I walked with the cap and gown and everything like that.
But why so many schools? Why didn't you just say, you know what? No, I don't want to do this no more.
Well, when you go to a JUCO, your goal is to transfer, right? You go to junior college. So the goal was always to transfer. So I transferred to Alabama State. My brother used to go there. And then I went there, and then I realized I was getting kind of homesick. You know, being out there, it was not necessarily a culture shock, but it was just like, all right, I don't really have much attached out here. So I ended up coming back. The goal was to always come back to go to CSUN. And then I think CSUN, I got in, but CSUN was overcrowded. It was just like, you can only take four units. So I was just like, well, Dominguez is open. It has all my units. So I'm just going to go there. So.
But why didn't you finish? You did 2 years at community, and then you did three in Alabama.
How did you not finish?
So,
I have the credits to finish. Oh. I have enough credits for sure.
You just never.
But my major was business, and then it was occupational therapy, physical therapy, kinesiology. It was like six different majors. So I have credits in like everything.
Oh, so you just like live a lifestyle where you're just everywhere.
I was a college lifer.
I'm putting my thing in every pot.
Yeah, I was just like, man, because that's the thing in college. I didn't love anything. I liked a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, I like business marketing. And so I would go into that. And I was just like, and I ended up coming back and like getting the majority of my credits in business marketing. So I have like that. I even though I don't have the degree, I still have that background where I feel confident in. But, you know, it was like, you have, okay, I'll be real.
Who was you being before?
I mean, I was being honest.
He gave us the standard interview question.
You rehearsed it. I'll be real. I don't know what I'm talking about. I need this job, okay? I need this job.
So this is what happened. I ran into a professor at Dominguez, right? She was an operational management professor, right? And so when I took the class, the first day I got there, she was like, she told the whole class, she was like, last semester I failed everyone. This semester I do again.
She's Russian?
Yes.
Okay. I hope she was. She's American.
Nah, she's black.
She was 4C. Black. Yeah, dark skin 4C.
But so she said that. And so she gave us a test the first day, and 95% of us failed.
Damn.
And when we would ask her for help, she would like, are you not like doing the homework? We're just like, that's why I'm struggling, because I don't understand. I need help. She was just like, if you don't understand, I mean,
dang.
So a lot of us literally put a petition together to open up another class, and they didn't do it. So I had to take that. It was a mandatory class. I have to take her to graduate. Mm-hmm. And if I don't pass, I would be taking her class for semesters on. And her class was fucking tough. Like,
yeah,
she even stated like, yo, nobody really passes my class the first time. She's like, it's normally like a class people come back the second time unless you're like a math whiz.
That is terrible.
When you started that petition, how many signatures were you short?
Everybody signed it.
The
whole class signed it. Other people that took the class previously signed it. And they were just like, well, I guess their thing was like, we didn't have a professor that had the hours to do it. Mm. That was their main thing. So it was just like, we were just screwed. And I already talked to my counselor.
The hours to teach the alternative class. Like,
right. The counselor was like, well, you have enough credits to walk. If you want to, you can just walk and then come back and just finish, you know. But you can go take the pictures.
And do the whole thing.
You know, diploma ain't real in your hand. Your diploma is just a piece of paper just with a little tie on it. It's not a real diploma in your hand. Yeah. So...
Dog, that was me in graduation, high school graduation. Uh-huh. I didn't get to walk because I owed books. So I told the guy, I'm like, hey, man, just say Brandon Cormell real quick. Like,
you didn't get to walk because why?
I walked, but I owed books. So I like, like my name wasn't on the actual graduation thing. I just walked to the guy. I was like, yo, I had a paper. I was like, yo, just say this name.
Wait, Wait, in high school?
Yeah, I didn't tell my mom or nothing.
What do you mean you had money? What?
If like books, book, like if you don't return the books or something like that,
you
it's
don't
like,
get to walk.
No, they make you clear out your accounts before you graduate.
Yeah, you got to do all that stuff.
Steal everything.
You got to pay, or you got to get it. You got to.
Yeah, and I owed like money. I owed like $200, but back then that was a lot of money to me.
Yeah,
I don't
for sure.
remember paying for books in high school.
If you lost a book,
no, you didn't pay for it. If you lost a book, you had to return books that were given to you.
Oh, okay, okay.
And like I wouldn't return it, so I just went up there and I wrote my name. Like, hey, just say this name. I told my mom. My mom thought I graduated. She's like, "Let's go!" And I'm like, "Just say this name." So my mom.
Wait.
Don't
so
say
how did you even get to do that without a cap and gown? Because I know how ours was. You had to go if you wasn't graduating, you didn't get the chance to get a cap and gown. They gave you your cap and gown after school.
Oh, I bought. I mean, I just we walked
you just
up
bought a random.
Yeah, like you. Everybody else wearing blue. This nigga wearing red.
I got a red. You know, I'm special over
I'm
here.
I'm wearing turquoise.
Yes, honor class.
Yeah. And I walked that stage like with a blank sheet of paper.
Oh wow.
Like everybody's like, "Yo, how the fuck this nigga Brandon graduate?"
So you don't have a high school diploma then?
Yeah, but like you know, I thought you would need one, but nobody's ever asked me. Like my mom would be like, "Where's your high school diploma?"
You're
at?
Still don't.
So,
but yeah.
First of all, the audacity for you to say anything about me—that was that's hella disrespectful. That's number one.
But at least I know what I'm doing. Like I'm not like you cut off midway. You're like, "All right, I'm gonna be real with y'all.
Everything I said was bullshit.
I'm gonna finally be honest with y'all."
Wait, so you still don't have a high school diploma?
It's at the school, but I'm not gonna pay that like the book fee.
So you technically have it, but it's just like it's
it's they're holding hodge. Like, yo, pay this.
Right.
How much is the bill?
Well, I mean, with interest now? I mean, I don't know. It's been some time. But I mean,
you grew up out here?
Yeah, I grew up out here. I went to Hawthorne because I used to live in West LA, but I moved like high school to Hawthorne.
Okay.
So yeah, like, but I thought you would need it, but you don't even need it. Like, nobody's ever asked me, like, yo, before we hire you, we need your papers.
They did with me. My first few jobs that I had,
What was your first job?
Movie theater. It was incredible. Winnetka Movie Theater in the Valley, not too far from here, actually. It's like down the street from here. And I ended up working at concession stands first, and then I moved up to the projection booth. It was the greatest job I've ever had in my life. Still to this day, besides comedy, that is the best job I've ever had. So all you do, you used to just thread the movies, which took me, because I was a beast. So I would thread these movies in like 3 minutes. I was threaded in 3 minutes, and I can sit down and have like a 2-hour break.
What does threading mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know about
like film, right?
Yeah. So I don't know about now if it's digital now at the movie theaters, but when I was coming up, it was film. You still had, they gave you like a bunch of reels, and we had to build the film. So they give you one through six reels, and then I had to put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 together. So you got to like spin them on something, you clip them together, paste, like you get some tape, you snap it together, put the next one on. Reel it on, all stuff like that. It's like it's a process.
Wow, hey, so, I've never
so when you
heard
do that,
before.
Yeah, like it's dope. So like, do they test it before you even show the real
we
movie?
We have to test it.
Oh, because so I wonder like, what would happen it. If it just cut off in the middle? I never had a movie
so
cut
we,
off.
So we had to test it. So like when you used to watch movie theaters back in the day, if you ever used to see like a cigarette burn on like the top corner, like for like a split second.
Yeah,
I don't know if you ever used to see that.
Yeah,
like
I see
a
that.
Little circle.
Yeah,
on the top.
A little circle thing.
If you see a little circle, that means the reel was changing.
Oh
yeah!
Wow.
So what happened? I would just tell you a quick story with that. The master, pretty much the guy that was like the best like projectionist at our job. His last week there, this motherfucker was going around and undoing some of the movies and putting different reels in different movies.
Hilarious!
So like if it was Asian Cody Banks, he'll put like another like an animated movie as the third reel. So you wouldn't know until the middle of the movie.
How bad did they treat this man? Like, man be like, you about to fuck everybody.
He did it on some just like, you know, like, what can you do about it?
Yeah.
Because when the movie's playing like that, I got to eat that. I got to like literally let that reel play out. I gotta find the beginning of it, cut that, let it play for that reel to end, cut that, and then I can try to cut it out right there, which, I mean, I was skilled enough to do it, but it took like time.
Wow.
It took time to do. So he did that.
So you was doing that while the movie was playing for the people? You was changing shit?
The movie had to stop.
Oh.
So they had to sit there, you know. I don't know if you ever seen like a movie feeling like it was catching on fire if you're watching a movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That means it got a brain wrap. That means the movie started to peel. It started to pull the two frame the frames out.
I've never seen
it. And it looked
that.
Like it's catching on fire, but it's not. It's like it's a crazy thing, yeah.
I've never heard this before. I didn't know
and
that.
And then if you ever had sex in a movie theater.
Like, what made you get into this?
Working in concession at first. Just a concession stand working like popcorn and shit. And then it was like you want an opportunity to move up. I was like, hell yeah. And somebody was like, yeah, you get like 2-hour breaks if you thread your movies fast enough, you can go up there. And I was playing my Game Boy Advance and I pop into like Bad Boys 2. I'm like, oh, I want to watch Bad Boys 2 real quick and watch that part, sit back down. You have access to all the movies. They're like right in your booth. And that same guy, he used to, you know, if you had sex in a movie theater, let me tell you something. You've been watched. You've been caught. You've probably been recorded, too.
Really?
Yeah, this dude used to, he had night vision goggles and everything like that.
Ooh.
That same dude.
He was a menace.
He's a little different. That was professional.
He used to literally be like, yo, potential, theater 13. And I walk over there and I'll check. And then I'm like, oh, shoot. And then be like, what people would do is they'll buy a ticket to a movie that nobody's going to be in on a Wednesday at like 7 p.m., which is smart.
You got a story, Brandon?
Yeah,
you
got it. I did that. me and this girl, we was like, yo, let's go to the movie like at 11 a.m., right? It's a school day.
Yep.
And I'm like, yo, let's get in the back because she wanted to give me like head and stuff.
Yep.
So I go there. This lady comes in with her three kids, walks all the way up to the back row and sits right next to us. I'm like, what the fuck are these kids doing watching this movie?
She wild for that. She's terrible for that.
Yeah, but I mean, of course, I didn't do nothing with the girl, but it was just like, fuck, like that was our moment to shine.
We done seen literally like pretty much porn shit happen in movie theaters. And then what he would do was he would be sitting there watching, let you get your little rocks off for like 5 minutes, and then he'll hit the house lights on you.
Damn!
Oh yeah. My gosh.
Why would he let you?
Yeah, he's a monster. So I don't know who ever had sex in a movie theater besides you and,
I never did it. I would have got pressed. I would have went to jail.
What was crazy was I was dating a girl at the time there, and we used to mess around in the theater. And then when I got up there, I was like, oh, what the fuck y'all be doing? Like,
I'm guessing it was just like,
yo, Keenan and so-and-so was, we know what y'all was doing early
Keenan.
On.
Keenan!
Yeah, what up, man?
Keenan, don't shake my head.
Sticky head about it.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah, good times, man. Mm. Yeah, it is. It's very creepy.
Career. So comedy is a competitive sport where typically the most confident rise to the top. So looking at the other side of the coin, what is an insecurity of yours that you think holds you back the most?
Self-doubt, man. Like it's getting better now, but like, you know, just, you know, I don't know. What is that? Imposter syndrome type thing? Like feeling like you should be here or not. Sometimes I had that moment where I'm just like, is it worth me being here? Or is it like, am I good enough to even be at this level right now? And sometimes I had those moments where I kind of sit back and be like, man, I don't know if I have it. I'm a lot better at it now, but man, for like, especially my first 7-8 years, I was just like, shit, I was afraid I had to go back to Home Depot. That's where I worked at for a while. I was just like, man, I worked there for 9 years. I was like, man, and I quit Home Depot. I was like, man, if I have to go back to do this shit, like, it's, my life is over. Like, it's, and I had that fear. My brother used to kind of make fun of me. He was like, you're going to be at Home Depot for life, motherfucker. That's your career. And I was just like, damn. He got all the degrees. So I was like, you might be right. You know what I'm saying?
Your brother sounds like an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, he's definitely an asshole.
I mean, four degrees, you got
to
be one.
I mean, you got to be an asshole to get 4 degrees, for sure.
Yeah, you can't. You got to be selfish.
There's no nice person with 4 college degrees.
You're right.
At all. They're
leading with that.
Yeah, they're cocky. Yeah. Like, my brother's a doctor, technically. He's Dr. Baker. You know, even though he's an engineer, like he got a doctorate degree. So he's just like, yeah, call me. He'd be like, yo, call me Dr. Baker. I'm like, nigga, I'm not calling you Dr. Baker.
Call your middle name.
So, I mean, early on, like now it's different. Like our relationship is different now with that. Like he's seen me make strides. So it's different. But like early on, that was like a doubt in my head. It's just being like, damn, man, like you don't know how to make it in this. You're just doing comedy at first. We're not looking at the business side of this shit. We're not looking at it like I got to go book something, get a fan base and make money off this shit. You're just like, I just want to be funny. And we start to realize that that's not necessarily what you need to make it, to be honest. It's crazy, but.
Would you say you need to make it? Just from your experience from the beginning to now.
Networking is huge. I think networking is one of the biggest things for sure, is who you know. I think the funny has to be there somewhat, but I mean, there's a lot of mediocre comics that are high up right now. There's a lot of them.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're a booker, you see, you're like, oh God. And then you be like, motherfuckers on TV shows? This is crazy.
Yeah.
So it's that's what happens too. When you start to realize like it's not necessarily about talent, you go like, all right, I was going off talent to win this shit to make it. And it's like, it's not even about that. So if you're not a people person, that can kind of even hinder you. It sucks.
Yeah, so talent now I feel like is not necessarily just funny. It's like, it's a business. It's your social media.
100%.
That's what the talent is, so.
Yeah, and I mean, that was an adjustment for us. I came up right when that social media and, like, internet comedy and stand-up comedy was having that battle. You know, when that people were like, man, we don't fuck with internet comics. You know what I'm saying? You're not a real stand-up comedian. I literally came up in that.
Callie Scott calls them social medians.
Mm-hmm. So, ooh, that's a good. That's
I know.
Good, that's good.
Right?
Yeah, social media is really. And I mean, now it's like, at the time, I didn't understand it, so I didn't respect it. now I respect it. It's like what they're doing is difficult. It's not that it's not hard. Now what we do is probably more difficult, but you can't shit on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I do think it's, you know, the clubs care about asses and seats. So when we go, man, but they can't even do 20 minutes. It's just like the club doesn't care about 20 minutes. The club cares about, is it full? Mm-hmm. You know, when you're going out and you're doing, you know, over 1,000 seats for the weekend, the club's like, well, if he bombs, he bombs. We just made $150,000 off the drinks and shit, off the drinks and food. So they don't care what you do at that point. Come back again next year. We'll book you again if you can sell out.
Yeah.
So when did you start? Because I feel like, so your good friends are like Tony Baker. Who's your Keon? Who are your comedian friends? Like,
yeah, those are like my brothers. It's like, it would be Keon, DC, Brandon Lewis, Chaz Rogers, and Tony Baker. Okay. Those are like that, like my bros. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like they started social media. Like Tony obviously has like really blown up. And I feel like you just recently started. Like, were you always posting? I don't know. I just feel like I see you so much more now, like creating content.
I started. I was posting for years. I have skits on YouTube from like 13 years ago. I've been posting. It's just that nothing was catching. And I wasn't consistent. So, like, you know, the few times that Tony would pick up the phone, because, you know, Tony, he's not a phone call guy. Or he'll text me. He'll be like, yo, ass need to be consistent. He was really big on consistency. That's why, you know, that's one of the reasons why he did make it. Like, besides having a captivating voice, you know, he always just put shit out. Mm-hmm. He was very, very consistent. The rest of our crew wasn't as consistent as Tony at all when it came to social media. So I think you might start seeing me now because I'm just in your algorithm and I'm posting daily now. Mm-hmm. I'm posting every single day, at least once a day. Before I was posting like we talked about, like, off camera, like 3 or 4 times a week. So maybe you saw it, maybe you didn't.
That's not enough.
For me, it's not enough. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's enough right now because it's just too much content right now online. So, Tony was a motivating factor for that. He would be like, yo, you need to get your ass and stay consistent on there. And it's like, and I watched him blow. I literally watched him have like no fans to like the millions of fans that he has now. I literally seen all that growth. Yeah. So I know it's real.
He had like 9,000 followers. I was following him.
Yeah.
And it just started jumping crazy.
Yeah, you start to see it.
Consistency is everything. That's what I tell Rich too. That's literally when we change too, when Chocolate Sundays changed.
I think that's, it's not even about, like you said, it's not necessarily about how good you are. If you're consistent, there's a fan base for everything. So even if somebody goes, yeah, your sketches are stupid, it's like, somebody might be like, I love that silly shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then even if your fan base isn't as big, if you get 100,000 like of a cult-like following that loves everything you do, that's better than that fake million that you have anyways that are just there for the time being. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how I always looked at it. So
that makes me think of, did you have a chance to watch Deion's special yet?
Deion Cole?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so the one joke that he has in there where he's like, you know, I haven't really made it yet because I still got a flyer guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my favorite joke on that. Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just like, that's what that comment actually makes me think about is like, even someone like a Deion Cole who has multiple Netflix specials, he still has to be on social media promoting, you know, to his audiences, to his market. That's real.
And we don't like feeling like we have to do that, right? Like when you're trying to push something, you want to be able to just post a show. Like, I love that there's bigger comedians like a Bill Burr. If he posts, you know, I have a tour coming up, it's sold out probably within hours. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's what we want. But it's just like, I hate feeling like I'm like being like having to hit people. For my show this past weekend, Bonfire Stories, I hit Lonnie on the side like, hey, Lonnie, could you come through? And I hate that feeling. Because it's back again, it's that rejection. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't come through. And it's just like, I mean, rejection, I mean, it hurts.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. That's.
I didn't say you said.
Lonnie's
the
devil.
No. I wouldn't say you said no.
A menace. Because to I was going to another comedy show already for.
First of all,
you know,
I wasn't putting it on Lonnie that
did
she
you
said
say
no.
That? Was this one this weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I wasn't saying that Lonnie said no. I'm saying when you posted to people. I sent it to like.
I was the example.
No, because Lonnie's right here.
Lonnie, no offense.
Lonnie can be like, this motherfucker hates me. I love Lonnie. But like, here's the thing, because Lonnie has always told me that she wants to support that show and it kept coming up on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's why, you know, I mean, I did hear immediately, but I hit hella people and it's like a lot of people said no. And it's like, it's scary to not fill a room when you're paying for the room.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you got to fill this room and at least either try to like break even or at least for the comedians, mainly for me, for the comedians to have a crowd to speak to, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I feel like I hate having to promote consistently like that, but it's like, go back to Tony. Nobody promotes their show that I've seen more than Tony. But that's the reason why when I go on the road with him, he's fucking selling out too.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kev on stage is pretty close. He promotes the hell out of his shows.
Kev on stage, and he's coming with like a unique way now how to do his promotion, because I think he was like, I think that's what we're trying to do is like, when you put a flyer out, YouTube, I mean, especially IG, they go, oh, you trying to promote some shit? It's not going to reach nobody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You get 3 likes, and it's like, I have 25,000 followers. Why just getting 3 likes? So, you know, it's just, it's one of those uncomfortable feelings, but you have to be consistent again. Like you said, you have to be consistent and do it.
That's how I felt too, because I want to start a show, but I'm just terrified nobody. It's going to be me and just a random old person who.
I'll go, Brandon.
This even worse. Me, a random old person and rich.
I probably won't.
Yeah, I know that you won't.
Invite me and I'll say no.
Now I'm good.
But I also wanted to ask, I mean, on that tip, it's like, how do you consistently get people coming to Chocolate Sundays? I know Chocolate Sundays is a great show in general.
Money works her ass off.
But I want to, like, do you have any promotional tips for comedians? Because that is, to me, that is the biggest struggle for the majority of us.
Mm-hmm. No, it's all right. We were talking about that with Lewis, too, because Lewis does a show and he does really well. And I'm like, that's not a natural thing for comedians to be able to do, just regular people in general.
Yep.
You have to be creative and be funny, and then also like the administrative side of business and selling tickets, and that's really, really hard. How we sell out, I mean, we have to be consistent. We do market. That's why when people always ask me, it really irritates me when people are like, oh, what do you do besides Chocolate Sundays? Like, I'm just there on Sundays.
That's what I thought when I first started.
Like, just cutting comedians off.
You come out the back on Sunday.
All right, Chocolate.
Yeah, I just sit there and, you know, hit the light and time comics. Like, do you see this room? We got 600 people every week. Like, that takes a lot of work to consistently promote. But we do, you know, just our clips, like all our social media. We run ads on Facebook, Instagram, Google, like everything. Email's really big. Getting contact info. And that's what Pookie taught me in the very beginning is emails, because those social networks, like you said, Instagram controls your algorithm.
Yeah.
An email goes straight to the person. A text message goes straight to them. So collecting info is very important.
Louis C.K., I don't know if you guys are on his listserv. But for his specials, that's what he does now. He doesn't even post it. He just will literally email you his special, and he'll be like, hey, drop something. If you want to buy it, it's $10.
Yeah.
So he gives you the special for free, and it's whatever is paid
for. No. He'll include a link to the special. Because, like, I signed up for that listserv, right? And then the special will be there, and then you click it. It'll take you to his website where the video is embedded into his website.
Gotcha.
So it's not on YouTube. It's not on Netflix. It's on
his site.
And you can stream it or watch whatever from there. And he charges you $10 for like access code. But that, I think, to the power of like emails. Versus consumer.
The money is in the emails.
And I think that's really big for us. I think some people might think emails are old school. That's what I thought at first. I was like, ah, man, that's old school shit. And then I keep hearing that's the consistent thing. And it's like, and you know, when I see, like I said, I see Chocolate Sundays. That's a beautiful room. It's literally like the hottest show in the city.
Easily.
And it's like, that's a credit to you, number one, and keeping that show hot. You know what I'm saying? You said.
And there goes that host job.
To keep it consistent, that's a big credit to her. Yeah, but like,
to keep the room full, the vibe of the show is so much on the host.
Oh, for
the
sure.
DJ.
No, I was joking. But, like,
all the hosts, Takara, Ronji, Keon, everybody that hosts it, like, it's like,
Jordan Connolly.
Jordan Connolly, like, all the hosts that come down there, Brandon. Brennan's like hosting. I've hosted once, like having help before.
Yeah, Keno.
It is a vibe on that. So it's like, it's all that, but it's like, you know, it does start with putting the asses in seats, and that's really
the foundation is what sets it. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about putting a white comic as the host of First Impressions one time?
No,
can't do it.
We can't.
Yeah, I feel like it's gonna be a riot.
We already don't have enough spaces to perform here consistently.
Yeah,
you give them that space. It's just like, bro, they already have enough.
Yeah, they have every night.
All jokes aside, for real.
Yeah, and 1 week, you know, I always try to book like one other, you know, Asian, white, whatever. But 1 week, it just worked out where people canceled. But whatever happened, there were 3 white comics on the show.
Oh, my God.
Back to back. Ron would not let me live that down. Oh, my God. And then, like, you know, a lot of our staff, from Allie to Jesse to Matt, Joel, the editing team, the videographers, photographers, they're white. And it's like, I always try to hire a black. I don't even know if I can say that. Will I get sued for saying that? Yeah. I try to hire a black. Yeah. I don't know, but
affirmative action.
Like, I mean, it's who shows up and who's good, you know? Like, I got to pick the best
and
candidate.
Available. Yeah. And available and consistent. Like, That's very real.
Like you, your first time. Like, I couldn't even get you to have a camera.
Uh-oh.
A battery pack charged. You know?
It almost ended. This podcast would not exist if Lonnie didn't take a second chance on me. Let me say that first.
Wow.
How'd y'all even meet?
Yeah, Lonnie took a chance on me. So, like, I would come to the show all the time, and I let her know, like, I was like, hey, I do videography, da-da-da-da. Right? Yeah. I just threw it out there, and then she hit me back. Like, she was like, hey, come and would you be down to shoot one of these days? And it hit me kind of like last minute. Mm. And I was like, yeah, I can do it. Because I wanted to show up,
show
I could do it. And I brought my camera bag, but the batteries to my camera weren't charged because I had an event the day before.
So
I showed up and I put the batteries in.
Must be an error.
Cameras are not turning on, nothing. So I'm freaking out. The show's starting. And then there's no outlets. I don't know if you noticed in the Laugh Factory. There are no fucking outlets anywhere.
I think there's one on stage.
That's it. A long ass extension cord. Run,
no, I'm fucking panicking. I'm like, fuck, okay, let me charge this. Right? So then finally one of the batteries charges up, like right enough for me to record. And as soon as the show starts, it dies on me, like immediately. And then you just see Lonnie like sitting in the corner, just like looking at me like...
<I'm> just, because what's happening is, like, you know where the camera guy sits in the back section, he's in the middle right there by a pillar. So you have to like walk through people to get there. So the camera guy usually the whole show just sits there. He doesn't move.
He's like a pillar.
He was going back and forth like charging cameras. You're too tall to be doing that.
Wow.
He's just doing laps through the
almost. Sweating bullets also. He's like, and like it's a comedy show, so like people are laughing and shit.
Yeah.
And my energy, I have like big energy. So it's like you can feel my stress when I walk past you. I'm breathing hard. It was bad. And luckily, thank God, Lonnie was like, it's okay. Like, you could come back another time.
Charge your fucking batteries.
I understand things happen. Yeah. Yes. But oh, my gosh. And bad. It's so funny now because Rich is such a perfectionist and how he works now.
So imperfect that night. It was flawed.
No, I tried to tell her. I was like, this is not a representation of who I am and what I'm about. Like, I promise.
She was like, this is not a representation.
Okay.
First game of the season. Dropped 2 points, man.
Just towering over her.
All bad, bro. It was all bad. But, yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, but yes, it's just there's a lot that goes into that show, even from hiring, you know, budgeting, but booking comics, that alone is a thing. You know, Nichelle, I had lunch with her, Nichelle that does Crack 'Em Up. She said it perfectly because we were talking about booking and she's like, people think that you just like throw people, you know, whatever next available. And she's like, no, we're booking a vibe. And I'm like, that is. I never thought of it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is. You have to mix it up. I really like to mix up completely different comics, too. You know, like one that's more of a writer, that standstill, that's quiet, and then like a really wild, crazy one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I try to throw like one non-black comedian, but yes, we are going to mostly book black.
They don't necessarily need it, but all right.
The non.
They don't need the opportunity.
So
if you're talking about Latino, Asian, that's different, you know. But
minority.
White person. White comic. I'm just like.
So you think Chocolate Sundae should not book any white comedians ever?
It's not about not booking any white comedians.
Are you racist against white people, Keenan?
I can't be. But it's not about that. I think it's just like there's so many of us out here that are good, and. I do think for this particular show, since we only get one night, because literally when you go to some clubs, and I won't necessarily name them, but like some clubs, I went to a club before, and they were like, hey, come back. I almost said something, but it was like, they're like, come back the other day. Come back the black night.
Come back
the other day.
Yeah. Just said, come back Sunday. And wow. I was just like, what? And it was just like, yeah, I was coming to watch like my friends on this show. And it was just like, come back Sunday.
It's 1956.
And I'm just like.
Wait, they told you that you can't come watch?
Come watch.
Yeah, like.
Oh, I thought you were talking about trying to get up on stage.
No. I understand that game. I was already, at the time, 8 years in.
Yeah.
So I know that game. You're just not going to just get up on the show. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's happened to, I've seen that happen to multiple comics. It's happened to me multiple times at certain shows. It's like, oh, this is not Black Night. So like,
I went there
you can't
one
just
night.
Come hang out and chill.
I went there Thursday night once.
I think that.
I went there Thursday night and they tried to like, it was like, if you don't pay, you can't come in. And I was like.
I thought comics had a pass at all the comic clubs.
Like,
I thought that was the rule.
Like before, they would tell me like, yo, you got to pay. And I'm like, I'm not paying to watch this mediocre comedy.
Okay, I've never heard this.
100.
So the other shows do not allow comedians.
I mean, like,
to
like they allow me now, but like, it was a moment where like they wouldn't allow me in there unless I paid. I'm like, I'm not about to.
Maybe because management's changing a little bit, or like the book is changing a little bit. But like, like I said, I was about 7-8 years in, and that happened to me. Jeez. And I was already like, you know, I already people knew who I was. I wasn't a big comedian, but it's just like people knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And I'm one time literally somebody hit me with a hand on the chest, like, "Hey, bro, like, no, this ain't happening." To me, the Comedy Store was one of the few places that like was consistent of like letting us chill and hang out. Mm-hmm. But like a lot of the other clubs,
It wasn't
necessarily friendly.
Because comedians, I swear, they're so disrespected in the entertainment industry. Sure. I feel and I don't know why, and that is how it is. Like, they're not treated the same. They're not treated as a priority, or what am I trying to say?
Which is ironic, because there's no comedy club without a comedian.
That's what I'm saying. I've always said, like, I appreciate comics. Like, I never think of it as, like, I'm doing them a favor booking them. I feel like it's the opposite. Like, they're, you know, they're coming to our show because you don't make a whole bunch of money performing in Hollywood.
Right.
Yes, you get the attention and, you know, you get to get your name out there. But no, I never looked at it like that. And I think a lot of clubs do.
Even like at Chocolate Sundays, like, it was a certain, you know, it was a certain doorman. Like, he was like, every time I saw him, he didn't know me right. One time I walked past him, because I just walked past people, like, because people know me there.
Comedian, yeah.
He just stopped me. He's like, "Where you going?" I'm like, "I'm a comedian." He's like, "How do I know that?" I'm like, I'm coming. He's like,
something funny.
Brandon whips out his best knock knocks.
Oh, yeah, I'm up here like, "Yeah, so."
Shit, I've had that same thing happen to me. Yeah, he's like, same club.
He's like, "Yeah, you walking past me like that ain't gonna happen, buddy." I'm like, "Dog, I will smack you, man. I know Lonnie. Like, don't be like."
Well, his approach was totally wrong, but what he did is correct, because a lot of people do try to say that, especially at Chocolate Sundays now.
He would not remember me multiple times. I would see him 1 week. He's like, "Who are you?" I'm Brandon. He's like, "Nice to meet you." The next week, "Who are you?" Nigga. Yeah. He's like, "It's me." I'm tall. I have a beard. Like, I'm one of the few tall comedians out here. Like, you should know who the hell I am. Remember, I think you said something about that too, Rich. Like, you had a camera. He was like, "Who are you?" Like, "Nigga, I work here."
Yeah.
Like, you had a Chocolate Sundays hoodie on with a camera. He was like,
on the phone with Lonnie.
He was like, wait a second. What's all this?
So back to what you're saying. It's like, we don't get a lot anyways. So like, the one thing we do kind of want to accept is being able to get into the club for free. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, when that gets even stopped to a hole, it's just like, yo, what do we have? You know what I'm saying? Because you never know who's the next person. You know what I'm saying? You never know if you're disrespecting the comedian that's going to be a superstar in the next year or two. Mm-hmm. But some of these clubs, they don't care until you're that. And all of a sudden, they're like, "That, like, it never happened." "Oh, buddy, come on. Let's talk, buddy. Hey, come do it. You want to just go up right now?" I'm just like, man.
See, though, that part is, as a booker, that is hard. And I think about that a lot when people try to get on. And I have to say no so much, because we have very few spots. You know, like, comedians don't realize I book 4, sometimes 5, which is too many already. Mm-hmm. Out of 52 weeks, that's, you know, 250 people. Yeah. If the same person only performs one time. So there's not a lot of spots. So I'm always like, "God, yeah, someone's going to blow up and then they're never going to come here when I ask
them." I think
it's
the way you say it, though. Like, like, if some people just did, like, you know, disrespectful with it. And it's like, and then when you, like, you become something, it's like, "Hey, man, like, what's up? I'm going to do the show." And it's just like, you disrespected the hell.
Yeah, it's like, on my dick.
I always love you. I love you back in the middle.
It's just like, don't do that. And then treat me like I'm just like a dope guy because I got something going for myself now. That's like so rude to me.
Yeah, and I wasn't even saying from a booking perspective. I kind of get the booking perspective in the sense where it's just like, can you book me? And I understand, like, especially if I'm not on your radar, that's different. But I'm speaking from really from, like, just coming into your club perspective, like walking into your club, just being like, "Hey, I'm just coming to watch the show," and getting different perspective, just trying to do that. That's my issue. Like, I understand, like, I Chocolate Sundays, I remember when I first applied for years ago, it was like a 4-year wait or something like that. And I was like, all right, and then I started to get to know people. So it's who, you know, and then, you know, I got up quicker. And then, you know, like I said, Lonnie showed me love at it. She's like, "Yo, you're, like, you're funny. Like, I want to have you back."
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, you got to earn your respect when you do get the opportunity. But, like, yeah, we're still disrespected out here just from even walking into some of these clubs.
Yeah. Where's your favorite city to perform? So outside of L.A., performing in L.A., where do you love to perform?
Man, as of right now, can I just say a state?
Yeah, go for it.
Texas, man.
I knew you were going to say that.
Texas. Why? Man, their energy is just different. It's just, they want to have a good time. Right now, I feel like the South in general has showed me a lot of love when I go on stage. So, like, I've done Dallas. I've done Austin. I've done Houston. We just did Houston a few weeks ago, like a month ago. And damn it, Houston was just like, I was riding that high for a second. I was just like, man, this feels, that energy felt incredible in Houston. So, I mean, yeah, LA is cool because I'm from here. So I still like the energy of LA, but a lot of comedians don't like performing in LA because it is very showcasey, you know, which is,
yeah, you people agents, managers.
I mean, Chocolate Sundays, yeah, people laugh, but you won't really see standing ovations at Chocolate Sundays when they're very much deserved. Like any other city, you would get one.
Yeah.
LA, it takes a lot for people to stand up, because everyone's so cool in LA, you know. Half the audience are like TikTok stars and actors.
Exactly. They're like, well, I could probably do this, or like, I've done comedy 4 years ago, and you know, I just now I'm into acting. That's all it is. So it's like, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I say Texas is great. I would say North Carolina too. I did Raleigh. Raleigh was incredible, also. So those are like my two favorite places to kind of go to. Yeah,
I think I remember seeing a clip. Not sure if it was in Texas or not, but like it was a white lady that was sitting in the front. She tried to tell you that your joke, like she had heard the joke before.
It was Houston.
That was Houston?
It was Houston.
Oh, I remember that clip. Yeah.
What happened?
Because so I did Austin with Tony the previous year. So if I know when we're like, when we hit the same spots, if he's giving me the opportunity to even do the same city again, you know, I make sure I try to go with a new feature set. So we did Austin, and the majority of my jokes were different from the city that particular show, because we did it last year. And she just heard me say my wife. I was like, yo, something about my wife. And she's just like, I've heard this before. I was like, what? She's like, I was like, I'm not doing the same wife stuff I did in Austin. I know I'm not. I know what the set is. And so I ended up doing a whole different joke, of course. And I was just like, see, bitch, like, it's not the same joke. And she's like, oh, okay. And then she was like, I called her, you know, a white woman. And then she was like, she's like, actually, I'm Latina. And I was just like, well, you're acting like a white woman right now. So you got to just take it at that point. But it's just like, yeah, it's like, you know, also, too, some people, it's hard to come up with a brand new set, you know, a good one anyways. Most people, I think, well, at least when they're touring, they're at least touring for at least a year or so with that same set, and then the next year they change it or something like that. So that's all I was doing. It was just like, it wasn't even the same joke. She just happened to come to the Austin show and then come to the Houston show, and it was still different material, but she just heard my wife, and she was just like, she wasn't having it for some reason.
And yelled out loud in the middle of the show. Obnoxiously.
Yeah, at that point, I wasn't angry. I was just like, all right, now I got to make an example out of you. That was my thing. I was just like, all right. Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Finish her.
I'm getting that was my mentality, yeah.
How did you meet your other half?
I actually met her through a friend. The friend came to a show, saw us at a show we did at Flappers, and then she's like, I think you'd be cool for my homegirl. I think you guys would kind of match. And then she linked us, and then, you know, first day we went on, we talked for like 6 hours, like on the beach. We just talked for 6 hours on the beach.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then I was just like, I think we both feel at this particular point, this person was somebody special. And then I proposed last year around the same time, and actually in December in Hawaii. And damn, that.
How long were y'all together before you proposed?
Four and a half years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so when I proposed to her afterwards, I was just telling people I was married, because I was just like, I didn't care for the fiance name. I didn't care about, like, this is my fiance. Like, that shit was, I don't want the confusion of like what's happening. Like, yo, this is my wife. She's technically in my mind been my wife since we moved in together. You know, that's how I always viewed her, as my wife. I would tell people she was my wife even before that. So even the proposal story didn't go as planned. Like, we went to Hawaii. We had like a glass bottom boat trip plan. And I was going to propose on that. And then Hawaii, for some reason, had one of the worst storms it had in years. It just rained, flooded. So I ended up proposing in our room. In my drawers. Did I have drawers on?
Classic.
I might have been bottomless. We just finished watching Kevin Hart's True Story.
Oh, that's awkward.
And
butt naked right after that.
Yeah, that's time to take it off. You know what I'm saying? And so I had the ring already, and I was just like, I ain't gonna have another opportunity, because it's like we leave the next day, and it was just like, fuck. It's like it just kept raining too bad, and the restaurant lied to us about a COVID thing, so I couldn't do it at the restaurant that I wanted to do it in. So I just, you know, she's on a bed kind of chilling. I said she was kind of sad. And then I kind of like got on one knee on that cold ass floor. Cause I proposed to her there. And then, you know, she cried. I cried a thug tear. You know what I'm saying? And then we technically got married on the second, right before my birthday.
Oh, okay. Oh,
so
wow.
This year on the second. So that's technically, we went to the courthouse, Beverly Hills courthouse, did all the stuff there, and had like a little small little.
Congratulations,
man. Yeah, man. So. It felt different too. It felt like
I was. Oh, you got married at the courthouse?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Those last as long as I heard.
I feel like when you make that trench, walk down the hallway.
Well, the marriages that last as long as the ones that don't pay thousands of dollars for weddings.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that was my thing. I was just like, look, man, that's going to cause a rift. If I pay $20,000 for a wedding, why would I do that for? Let's just do something for a couple hundred.
I have the perfect question for you.
That's nice.
Oh, my gosh.
So, wedding rings. Mm-hmm. Did you buy your wife a real diamond, or would you consider buying her a lab-grown diamond?
Lab-grown? I never knew about that.
A lot of people don't know about lab-grown. And you say it, lab-grown is still real,
but
technically.
So a lab-grown diamond...
It's cheaper, right?
It's cheaper. Mm-hmm. So a regular...
Not by much.
It's like 5,000 to 1,000.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, those are the prices.
No, I disagree.
I looked it up.
I don't know if that is either, because I don't think we got a lab-grown one.
Uh-huh.
And the ring wasn't over $5,000.
It was definitely $600. So,
she came with me because we were at the mall, and then we went to Zales, and she was like, she's like, hey, you want to go to the ring store and check some rings out? She was like, it's almost time. So we went in there, we started looking at rings, and she picked out her ring, and I just said like, yo,
gotcha.
And I was like, do you want like one with the band already? Or because I was like, you get this particular ring that you really, really want. I can't afford the band right now.
You said this before you proposed or after?
This is before.
Oh, okay. So she saw it coming then, basically.
She kind of knew it was coming. She knew the proposal was coming at some point because she picked her ring out. But I was just like, she picked the other ring that she wanted. I was just like, well, I'm letting you know now. I'm not buying you a wedding band. You're not getting one. And she was just like, I'm cool with this one. I like this. And then closer to like the wedding day, she was just like, "Am I not really getting a wedding band?" I was like, "Absolutely not." And then
you heard what I said.
I wasn't playing no games with you. But then
that's so romantic.
I'm really honest, and so I went to go get her ring clean, like a day or two before the wedding. And then I was like, "Yo," she saw a wedding band that she liked before, and I was just like, "Let me get that wedding band," and I bought it for her. So she didn't know until we were exchanging rings. And I was like, "I put the wedding band on first." She was like, and that's when she started hitting her tears during the wedding. And I was just like,
"Aww,
yeah,
got your ass.
Yeah,
you act tough, but you're a sweet guy.
I am for sure." Yeah. I'm a sweet guy when I'm in a relationship.
Outside of that,
savage demon.
I live the life.
So how is it? Has your comedy changed at all? Like since you've been with her, like what is it different for you performing now?
I mean, it's definitely a lot of relationship material has come through, of course. So a lot of that, but like. What do you mean, like when it comes to like a woman perspective, like dealing with women on the road or something?
Yeah, like that, or just. Anything about your comedy career?
Yeah, really, really the material is like just a lot of like, it's starting to become more marriage stuff, more family, getting towards the family stuff and wanting to have children and stuff like that. And then when on the road, like I just don't trust motherfuckers, man. Like, it's like, I don't, like even if somebody wanted, like first, I don't want to cheat on my lady. Let's put that out there first. Everybody had to feel like, well, this is why, but it's like, no, I don't want to cheat on my lady. That's number one. That's I respect her and love her. But also too, it's like, I don't trust people also. And it's just like, I know how my mind works. If I do something that day, within that 5 and 15 minutes being inside that person, it's going to be worth it. And then as soon as I finish, it's not going to be worth it. It's not going to be worth losing everything that I built with this person.
The post-nut clarity?
Yeah, exactly. Post-nut clarity is some real shit for us. Probably for y'all too, but I know for us, it's a real thing. So it's like, I look, I'm like, oh, you got ass. But it's just like, I keep it at. Oh, you got a little cakes over there. But it's just like, I keep it at that. It's just like, that's, from a marriage perspective, that's how much my comedy has changed.
I think there's nothing wrong with looking either, like glancing at somebody.
I encourage her to look.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wouldn't mind my girl, like, because it's there. Like, if a fat ass is next to me, I ain't about to be like, oh, I don't see nothing. Yeah. Like, we see the fat ass.
That's, would you be mad at your dude for looking at ass?
No, I look at it because it's impossible not to. Like you say, and I'll say it, but he'll try to act like it. I mean, jokingly, I'll be like, damn. And he'll be like, what?
I don't know what
you're talking about.
Where that ass come from?
Once you go like, damn, she got ass. I'm like, damn, she do got ass. I'm not playing the whole, I spotted the ass probably a mile before you even saw the ass. So.
I think the first time she does it, I'll do that. I'll be like, what?
You just got to know where cheeks. It's coming crazy. From and just already be looking that way. So then when it walks,
know your partner. My lady, she's securing herself in that sense. So she knows I'm not going to, she knows, like, I adore her and I adore, like, our friendship more than anything. Yeah. So it's just like, she knows I'm not going to jump out and just for some cakes. You know what I'm saying?
It's easier wearing shades. So your joke about the ring, is that true, though? Because you do a joke that you said since you've been wearing the ring, you get a lot more attention. Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, people say the ring is a chick magnet. And it was one of those things, like, I started to get kind of like, you know, especially grown women, just being like, hey, you just seem like you're more, I don't know if it's like when you're single, to be like, all right, you're single, you probably just out here trying to just get some ass. But it's like, I think some women see when a woman marries you, women know what type of men women marry. So women be like, if he's married, he must have something about him that's a quality that's important. So he's a good guy, but I want that good guy. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I can get this nigga. See if I can get this good guy from her.
There's definitely a competitive nature to it for sure.
People ever talk about that. Women are extremely competitive. They might not say it on, they don't like to say it on camera, like, I'll compete for a man. A lot of women compete for men all the time. 100%.
I didn't experiment like that. I was in Orlando, and he's married, and his wife gave me a fake wedding ring to wear. And I wore it out, and women were coming on at me hard. And I was like, let me just take it off, see what happens. I took this thing off. Nobody wanted it.
Like, it was like black and white. It was like, wow.
He was literally at the bar.
I put
bar.
It back on. They were just like, oh, my God, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And I thought about being
scandalous.
An asshole. Yeah. I wanted to be an asshole and just do like a fake story. Like, yeah, she cheated on me after all these years. I'm out here.
Oh, you would have had a night.
Yeah, I would have had.
You would have had a night.
You know what I think it is? It's because you represent like non-commitment as well, right? So like, by having your ring, they know that you can only push the relationship a certain amount.
Yeah,
do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And some women
it's power like for that. Them in a way.
Yeah, but also too, if you're married and you're sleeping with a single woman, like she has the upper hand too.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. So for her, it's like I control your relationship. Yeah. You know, at any point in time, I can ruin this shit.
Yeah. I'm coming to you as a woman type.
That's why I can pull this car. First sentence. Yeah. I'm coming to you as a woman.
Okay.
Yeah, bullshit.
You love Keenan?
You saw that shit from you saw the ring from the day one. He's like, you coming to me as a woman. But it's just like, it's women. We get the nerve. We get the like the knack for being trifling. Y'all are just as bad as us.
Women were 100%. Like even like when you're in like, say like you and your boys, y'all just want to go out and have a guys night at a club.
Yeah.
If you're not like with women, they judge you. And like, why can't six faithful guys go to a club and enjoy each other?
Oh, our masculinity gets put into a weird space when we want to just hang out with the homies or just kick it or whatever.
We have to have titties around us.
Listen, I think that women can go to a club, a group of women, just have fun. You guys really a club? I'm not talking about dinner or a lounge, like a club. You're getting bottle. You're popping bottles at the club and don't want no bitches at your table. Is that what you're saying? You go with just a group of guys.
Nobody said that.
I haven't.
Go with six of his boys to the club.
I'm saying like you're not getting that nobody. It's like weird, but you can do that. You can go there.
Girls can.
My friends and it's like.
But I'm saying, but guys like me, my husband, my guy, I don't want him going to the club because guys don't go to the club to just kick it with their guy friends. Women do that. Women like to go dance and hang out.
We go to the
club. I'm saying go to dinner, go to a cigar lounge, go whatever.
We can't go to the DR with the homies?
Yeah, just celebrate
with the homies? Why not?
Absolutely not.
It's like you need some titties around
you. Why you can't trust us?
Because we all know what happens in Puerto Rico.
So wait, you won't trust your partner? Going to Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic, like with the homie?
I wouldn't trust me going to Puerto Rico. Yeah. I wouldn't trust me.
So would you trust your lady though?
I would trust my lady to go. Yeah,
that's crazy.
I wouldn't trust me to go. Absolutely not.
I'm not trusting. Once you cross overseas, the trust is gone. Once you cross over that water,
it just dissolves. Yeah.
What happens in the
not on U.S. soil? No.
This nigga forgets his name and shit.
I mean, the nigga would come up with a whole different identity when he gets to Dominican.
Yeah.
I'm a dark-skinned Dominican. Bye-bye. Bang.
I'm Benzino or something. I don't know. I have a whole different name.
It's the freedom. There's something about being just in a different hemisphere that just, it's the energy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, man, I believe in faithful men.
Looking at the camera when you said that.
Black men don't cheat.
Yeah. We don't.
Well,
we don't.
To me, it's being in the environment, right? Like, even me now going to a club, yes, I could with girlfriends, but I don't, because I don't put myself in situations where things can happen.
In a situation to lose. Right. Yeah.
So even like when I'm trying to be healthy, I don't go to restaurants, because once I'm at a restaurant, I'm ordering all the bullshit.
Right.
I need to stay my ass at home and eat my grilled chicken.
Yeah.
So it's the same. Like, when you're around starting to socialize, conversations are going to happen. Oh, you're going to hit it off and, you know, start talking about something, and that's where it starts.
That's when you have to ask yourself, like, do you want a grilled chicken life, or do you want
to really live it up?
Do you want a life you want?
You have to have the trust in your dude to be like, look, man, we had a great conversation. Thank you for that. But get your ass up out of here. You got to have that faith in your man to do that. You got to, like, I think he would. I think.
No. I do. Yeah. I trust my guy like that. Like, I'd be cool with him doing it once in a while. Like, if he's always at the club, then something's weird. But,
because, I mean, as comedians.
Or you do a joint trip.
No, yeah, I mean, right? We do those, yeah.
Well, as comedians,
what's the
like
point of the girl, what the hell, a joint trip?
Where it's like you and your guys, her and her girls.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you guys have, you know, days where everyone's together, and then there's
it's
maybe.
It's confusing me, like, should I be unfaithful or not? Like, you know, like, why would I? That's just like a weird type of setup. Like, do I cheat or do I, like, she's still near me.
If you're,
what is wrong with you?
I'm going to pray for you.
It's like mixed signals, though. Like,
hey, man.
Start adding
what are
you in my prayers.
Brandon, good luck, bro.
Like, I'm abroad, but she's here.
Yeah, it's just like, I feel like my name is Daniel, but I'm still Brandon. Hey, fuck, should I tell these bitches I'm Daniel? Or will it come back to her? Like, fuck, I don't know what to do.
I mean, that's actually kind of smart, though. She'll never know. Be like, no, you said your name. I'm like, what are you talking about? My name is Brandon.
She's around and she's like, oh my God, I met this cute guy named Daniel. There he is. You're like, oh, like, shoot, that's my man.
There must be another nigga named Daniel. Yeah, that's tall and black. Like, that's what we all look like anyway. You know how it is.
It's just like, that's too much of. No, I'd rather not have that shit.
Okay, wait. Okay, I want to get a couple more questions in because we're running out of time. This is just a quick hit, but what is your marriage advice to millennials?
My marriage advice to millennials. It's hard to say. It's hard to just say communication. But I think, all right, ego check. Check your ego. Because what happens is you don't want to have a conversation about certain things. My lady and I, we have a conversation about everything, whether it's like about what we like about sex, what we can do better in the bedroom, what we can do better around the house, we can do what I like more. Somebody gave me some good advice, because I normally when I'm on the road, I ask that question on stage. And some lady was just like, don't love your partner how you want to be loved. Love them how they want to be loved. So it's like, learn your partner's, you know, love language, whatever the case may be, and love them like that. You know, I might be trying to love my girl a certain way, and she doesn't respond a certain way to me. I'm just like, well, I mean, that's how I would want to be treated. And it's just like, she's like, I might not care for that. Like, I want these things over here. I want, you know, to be hugged instead of gifts. I don't care for you buying me stuff. I want to be held and cuddled and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that lady told me that, I was like, that's some pretty damn good advice.
That's great advice.
And I think I mean, from what I hear from older couples that have done that, that's their things. It's like, yo, my, you know, ladies, man, if you do love to dick sucks, just suck his dick, all right? Just get this man some man. That's his love language, all right? I know, can you cuss on here?
It's too late now. We've been talking about the episode.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, if that's what your guy is into like that, he really loves that, you know, that's something you're going to have to suck up, no pun intended. You're going to have to get it done.
You got to suck it up.
You know what I'm saying?
Take it how you want
to
take it.
And then you might want to be one of those women that are like, yo, you might like gifts. So he's going to have to figure out a way to be that type of person for you. So it's like, I think that's the best thing. It goes into communication and listening, to be honest. It's like, listen to your partner, what they have to say, what they enjoy, and do that. And I think it'll make things a lot easier. You know, we haven't been married long, but we've been living together for, like, I think 3 years now. And the pandemic brought us closer. I know a lot of people got divorced during the pandemic, but we literally like, I like you and love you more than I even did before.
That's real.
And yes. That's what I was like, yeah, this is
good to hear.
That's the homie. This is going to be it for real. So
that's dope.
Love that, man.
What about any advice for comedians, up and coming comics? What do you wish you knew back then when you started?
What did I wish I knew? Man.
I give Brandon some advice.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Because he needs help.
I mean, I feel like Brandon's doing well. I mean, he's getting his social media in order. But I think in general, one of the best things I was ever told by one of my mentors early on, shout out to Ronnie Ray, he's like, live on stage. He's like, stay your ass on stage. Because when you stay on stage consistently, What?
I was just telling him this before the show.
I don't get on stage enough, and I need to. I finally checked myself. I was like, yeah, I need to.
Bro, like you have to get on stage, one, to find your voice a little bit quicker, but two, it's like it goes back to networking. It's people seeing you.
Yeah.
One thing that, you know, I met Tony after his first year. So, Tony's probably a year older than me in comedy age, right? And when I met him, people thought he was, like, maybe 5-10 years in. Because he was a monster pretty quickly. But Tony stayed his ass on stage everywhere. And when he was on stage, he murdered. So his name rang bells through the city very quickly because he did what he needed to do. And so that's what I learned early on was just like, you know, go on stage and just, you get the opportunity to get on stage as much as possible, but murder when you get on that bitch. Because you might not get the opportunity to get back on there. When I see comedians go on Chocolate Sundays not prepared, I'd be upset. Like, I'm just like, yo, any comedian that I know that gets on there, I'm like, yo, I said, you got 3 minutes, murder that motherfucker. Like, dude, don't work out on no shit. Do your best type three and murder that bitch. Because if you don't, you won't be back for the next 4 years.
Because it is like such a long wait list. And me and Ron G always talk to each other like, you waited 3 years for this?
It's like people forget their material. And it's like, you waited all this time and you get up here and you're not prepared. And it's like, bro, this is the one chance to, you look like an evil ass person. I don't know, he's just, yeah, but this is the one time like really show out. And it's like, what the fuck? You just blew your
And then
chin.
Use the other shows. Like, Brandon, the conversation was he's saying that he needs to stop being too good for certain shows, you know, like shows that might only have 10, 20 people. But I told him, I'm like, do those. And that's where you work on your crowd work and work on your other material.
How long have you been doing stand-up for?
This is my eighth year, but I didn't really do like a lot the first four.
I'm not saying don't have an ego, but why are you being like I'm too good for this
show? No, not too good. It's just that I told her, I don't know why she said it like that, but when I first started, yeah, she was like,
it made it seem like you're just like, I ain't doing
what the fuck. Now, when I first like started stand up, I was good like right away. I was getting like, I was doing good, and like, I wasn't even getting up a lot, but I was just getting like I was doing really good.
Yeah.
So I felt like I didn't need to actually work that muscle all the time because people would like be doing shit like every day and they hit mics and I'd still be better than them. So I'd be like, I ain't gotta do that shit, but cause I was talented. But then I'm realizing like I need to be skilled too because my talent's gonna fail me if I'm not skilled.
I mean, literally, I think what it is that Kevin Hart says is like hard work outworks talent every day of the week.
That's what I'm saying. I think I'm better than the show, but if it's like small, I'll be like, I'll just find some type of like.
It's not like you got spoiled early. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I got spoiled early, and I never had to actually like really. What's so funny? All I hear is her nostril hair. That's all.
He said he got a standing O his first time doing Chocolate Sundays.
The most horrible. It might have been like only 10 people standing, but to me that was 100,000.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm saying like I got that, and I never like I was always good, so I kind of got spoiled with that. I never had to like really work like extra hard to get laughs, so I kind of relaxed, which is my bad for doing that. I wish I started off not so good.
Yeah, I mean, I say do those shows because you're going to learn something from every single show. Even if you're doing those shows that are small with 10, 20 people, like my show Bonfire Stories is purposely meant to only hold like 25, 30 people because it's an intimate storytelling show. It's not meant to be big. So it's like when when you're coming to, I mean, I've learned a lot of things at big shows for like a lot of people, hundreds of people. I've learned for thousands of people. I've learned shows doing like in front of 5 people. I'm not gonna like not go up. If I'm booked, I'm going up. I want stage time.
Yeah,
that's how I am. It's not about like, oh, this venue doesn't hold.
That's why.
People.
That's why I'm saying I need that mindset where it's like it don't matter the people. Like I need to actually just
How much do you really love stand up then? Like, because I would say that too. It's like, all right. I'm not meaning the question you like that and on the spot, but it's it's one of those things like, do you truly love stand up or you just love the what you get from it?
Yeah.
Like, if you truly love stand up, you're just like, yo, I want to get up. I just need to get up somewhere. I got a new joke I want to work on. If I got to hit an open mic real quick, let me just work this joke up at this open mic. You're going to do that and you're doing it for you to get better. But if you're just like, yo, man, like, yeah, I ain't going to do nothing tonight, man. And, you know, and your name is, and you're not in every single club. I mean, I think that's a little wild. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not a regular at every club yet, it's just like, there's work to do still.
Yeah, that's how I feel now. Yeah, like, I already have stuff lined up that I'm about to do just because. But, yeah.
But, What are you laughing at?
You calling Brandon out. He's reevaluating.
I don't even remember Lonnie turning this conversation into like where he just left.
I feel like
this is a comedic intervention.
I feel like Lonnie waited for this moment. Like,
I do this because Brandon's like a little brother to me, and Brandon is good. Brandon is going to be very, very good. No, and he has a unique perspective and a unique style, but he is. Like, I think he needs to get on stage more. And I think you just.
They're calling you lazy.
Right. But I was already like, they're calling you a lazy fuck. What he said, I had it in my head already, but now it's just like, he's my dad now. And it's like, hey, you got to get it together. Do you love it or not? I mean, what do you love?
Do you want it? How bad do you want it?
Do you want it as much as you want to breathe, son?
I've already told myself this, but Lonnie makes him reiterate it to me. Like, look,
well, she made it seem like she was just like, yo, man, hey, man, Brandon out here really.
Like, no, Keon deepened his voice.
He called me Keon, man. Goddamn, man. What up to you, man? Keenan, man.
Goddamn.
Shit, man.
Keenan deepened his voice. He was just like, look, man, look.
My thing was.
Oh, you're going to cut you off now, huh?
Like real military stuff. I was like, look, man, look. My father told me, stay in school for 8 years. I'll be real with y'all for a second. I didn't go for 8 years, but look.
No, but it was like, I hope you didn't feel like it was.
Honestly, I knew exactly what you meant. It's just that I already, just seeing Lonnie just, I'm looking at you, but all I just, and I'm just like, I could have talked this nigga in private about this shit. But I know what you mean by that, because I need to like get out of that and actually like just be, stand up for what it is, not like the stage or how big something is. Like, I'm not above anybody. You know what I'm saying? I should be reckless at all these places because I'm too good not to be.
Yeah, and that's all. I mean, yeah, and like I seen you before, like I agree with them. You're like you're really funny. So
same taping together for Revolt. The same episode. Revolt,
yeah, we did.
Too.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, and it's like I know a lot of funny people, but sometimes it's like when you're not getting. Sometimes too, it's like, you know, finding your comedic voice is only going to get honed on the stage.
Yeah,
you know, some people get it faster. Some people get it within 5 years, 3 years, you know, sometimes even a little earlier than that, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people, it takes 10, 15 years to find their actual comedic voice or whatever the case may be. But you can only do that being on stage as much as possible. And I'm a champion for being on stage as much as possible. That's my thing. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. So, yeah, I don't think I was.
I know.
Like she set it up to where, like, all right, let me see, I got to turn these guys against each other.
Yeah, so let's shift the focus.
He was on me about not saying nah for coming for his birthday.
I know, yeah.
Last question.
This is for Brandon here.
Keenan.
My bad, bro. Yeah.
Keenan, how do you want to be remembered?
Damn, man. These are questions that I wasn't prepared for.
We didn't want you to be. We wanted to be authentic.
I don't know. Just as a person that just was like, I guess, is honest. He was true to himself. Like, you know, I'm not lying to anybody about anything. If I'm giving you quote unquote advice or whatever, it's just like, yo, Keenan was being honest with me, even if like I don't want to be necessarily known as an asshole, but like just be like an honest person that like. That actually cared about people. Like I, you know, the older that I've gotten specifically, like now, it's like, I care a lot more. I've seen a lot of death in the past, like 5 years. And it's just like, yo, it's like, life is short. And I want people to know, like, yo, like if I'm speaking to you and even giving advice, it's just like, it means I rock with you. You know what I'm saying? I got love for you, you know? So it's like, I guess it'd be cool to be remembered. Like this dude, he had love for people. You know, when you leave this earth, you know, I do want people to be like, man, Keenan, man, you know, he was a good dude, man. He always made sure he showed love to people. So it's I guess in that realm, being just remembered, yeah.
Awesome. I think you'll be remembered like that.
I mean, hopefully. She's like,
no, I'm going to remember you like that.
We'll make sure we give him a cupcake for Chocolate Sunday. But,
remember him on his birthday. That's what you should remember.
Remember him on that day. Brandon's shooting shots back. Brandon's like, nah, fuck that. You came for me. Remember on his birthday next year, right? November 7th. You remember that. Bring his ass back up there.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Well, awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for swinging by, Keenan. We appreciate you.
Good time.
Yeah. Thank y'all for having me, man. I appreciate all y'all, man. Like, the first time I met all y'all, y'all were all super cool to me. Met you, met Brandon, met Lonnie. You guys are all great people. That's what's good. I like good energy.
Yeah. So I appreciate you, man.
And where can, just to this camera here, where can everybody find you? Social media and whatnot?
Yeah, KeenanBaker.com. You can find me there. It's where I have dates and merch posted. But then also to, you know, at Keenan Baker, KEENAN Baker. On all social media platforms. If you're into anime, you see the Dragon Ball stuff I got on. Anime Shun Podcast. And then Brutally Honest Podcast with Keon. because you can call me Keon, with my boy Keon and Gary Anderson. I'm really honest on YouTube. Check all those videos out. It's super dope.
Amazing. Great. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. This has been your episode of the Sunday Scoop. See you next time.
Yeah.